You may be seated. If you would turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18. My subject, never give up. Some of you are facing some major problems in life. I want to tell you, never give up. Don't give up on that spouse. Don't give up on that marriage. Don't give up on those wayward children. Don't give up on that job. And don't give up on that dream. Never give up. Hallelujah. Now, the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, they were in trouble. They were in trouble because of their wickedness, and God was making plans to destroy them. And Abraham, he interceded for the cities and for Lot, and for Lot was his nephew, and he also interceded for Lot's family. Look at Genesis 18:24. Abraham said, "Suppose there be 50 righteous within the city, will thou also destroy and not spare the place for 50 righteous that are therein?" And the Lord said, "If I find 50 righteous within that city, I will spare the city for their sake." Then Abraham said, "Suppose there were 45 righteous." And God said, "If I find 45, I will not destroy it." And Abraham interceded with the Lord, and he agreed not to destroy the city if he found 10 righteous there. Abraham persisted in prayer. He persevered. He prayed until he prevailed with God. Have you ever wondered why he stopped with the number of 10? Well, Abraham knew there were 10 people in Lot's family, and he thought there were 10 righteous people there. Abraham had not allowed for the influence of the culture. He had not allowed for the fact that Lot's children had intermarried with the Sodomites and become sinners and mockers of God. And when Abraham saw the smoke rising over Sodom the next morning, he knew God had not found 10 righteous people in that city. Abraham persisted in prayer, and God responded. I'm here to tell you today that if the church of the Lord Jesus Christ will persist in prayer, God will respond. America today needs some intercessors. We cannot stand idly by and watch our nation being destroyed by the enemy. The battle that is going on in this presidential election, it is not about a party. It is not about a person. It is a battle being raised in the heavens against good and evil. And the church, it must wake up, suit up, and do spiritual warfare in the heavens and intercede with God for this nation. If Abraham could prevail with God in the world of prayer, that really encourages me. Hallelujah. I'm a prayer warrior. I'm talking to some prayer warriors. And I know that if he can prevail, we can prevail with God in the world of prayer. Persistent, persevering, prevailing prayer. And being like Jacob of old, we're willing to contend and wrestle with God until the answer comes. Jacob wrestled with God. Now, Daniel, he wrestled with demonic forces. So when you're wrestling, you have to petition the Father, and you have to tell the enemy, you're not going to do this thing that you're trying to do. See, the Apostle Paul, he tells us to suit up and be battle ready at all times. So I want to talk to you today about persistence, perseverance, and praying. Until we prevail with God, my subject, never give up. Let us pray. Father, thank you so much, Lord, for the call to preach your word. And I praise you, Lord, that you are moving. Lord, your ways are not always seen, but you said, "Before the day was, I am he. I will work and none can stop me," saith the Lord. So God, we are the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, triumphant, and we are calling out for our nation. And we don't ever intend to give up, God. No matter what the outcome of things in the natural, we know who rules the heavenlies. And God, you have called your church to enter into combat with you. Lord, you have called us to pray. And there is no prayer outside of man and a righteous person. So we thank you, Lord, for opening the ears and opening the eyes and opening the hearts of people to hear what thus saith the Lord. And we praise you for that anointing that destroys the yoke. Lord, let me preach your gospel with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. Let it be a clarion call to righteousness and holiness. And the church said in Jesus' name, amen. I came out of the business world, but I am a preacher. I am a pastor. I am a watchman. And the watchman is sent to warn the people of God. That is my assignment. Sometimes the thing that the Lord lays upon me, I just rather not preach them. But I must preach them in order to please God. 62 million babies, approximately, have been murdered in the mother's womb, and many Christians voted for that. That tells me that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ does not take this Bible seriously. When I was a young man, just saved, God woke me up and he spoke to me out of this book right here. Said, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. I said, what does that mean to me, God? God said, learn my Word. He said, it'll do exactly what I say. When I got saved, my life was all messed up. I said, God, why is my life so messed up? God said, you've sown bad seed, son. If you'll sow to my Word, I will bless your life. So I didn't choose to preach. God chose me. I'm a preacher. I'm a pastor. And I'm a watchman. And the watchman is to warn God's people. Some people, they cannot decide if they're disciples of Christ or citizens of the United States of America. When I was a child, I was taught that God comes first, your family comes second, and your country comes third. God is first, and as Christians, we must obey biblical principles. And I'm here to tell you something. God loves the family. God instituted marriage. It was Jesus. He performed his first wedding, his first miracle at the wedding of Cana of Galilee when he turned the water into wine. God loves the family and God loves life. I received eternal life. I'm so glad that God saved me. Aren't you glad to be saved? Aren't you glad to be in the house of God today? Aren't you glad that you have a Bible that's a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path? Aren't you glad that you don't have to wonder what to do because God tells us exactly what to do to obey him and to keep his laws and his statutes? Glory to God. I did not have a choice when it came to this past election simply because it was not about who, but about what. Let me say that again. It was not about who, it was about what. What does God's word say about righteousness? What does God's word say about the true church of the Lord Jesus Christ? See, God is working out the details right now of the end times, and the Lord is coming, and he's coming for a glorious church, a church without spot, blemish, or wrinkle, or any such thing. And God, the Bible says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises. He's long-suffering to usward. He's not long-suffering to that world out there. He's being long-suffering to his church right now, and the church better wake up. He's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. And there are people in the body of Christ, and they must repent. They must repent of what they have done and how they cast their vote. They are not a part of a political party. They're not just a citizen here. Their citizenship is in heaven. And if your citizenship is in heaven, you must do what God says to do. Look at the state of the church right now. The church is filled with sin. You cannot vote for a candidate that endorses abortion, child sacrifice, and the killing of little innocent babies and not be a partaker of that sin. You cannot vote for a candidate that endorses same-sex marriage and that have already performed same-sex marriages and not be a partaker of their sin. Christians are part of another kingdom, God's kingdom, and we cannot endorse the unrighteousness and the evil of the world. We're to be righteous and we're to be holy. And you cannot be evil and be righteous and holy at the same time. No man can serve two masters. You either have to serve God or you're going to serve the devil. I think it was Bob Marley. He wrote a song on that. You got to serve somebody. It may be the devil, it may be the Lord, but let me tell you, you got to serve somebody. I got a sermon on that somewhere. I might take it out and preach it. Hallelujah. The Bible says, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean things, and I will receive you. And the Bible says, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. God is looking for a holy, righteous people. And we need to perfect holiness in the fear of God. Jesus is my righteousness. I had no righteousness of my own. Jesus is the Word. And if I'm going to maintain my righteousness, then I must do what the Word of God says. Can I get an amen out there? Hallelujah. See, God is looking for some intercessors. God needs some people who will live right. God needs some people who believe the Word and believe His prophets and believe what He said, thus saith the Lord. God needs a pure people. He's got more than 10 righteous in this nation, I can promise you that. But He is coming for the righteous, and the unrighteous shall perish. And as much as I hate to say it, there is a place called hell, and you don't want to go there. God has given His church a wind of time. God has given this nation a wind of time. But God needs some intercessors. God needs some preachers. And God needs some saints that will pray until. God needs some preachers with some backbone, with some spine. Some that didn't come to tickle the ears of people, that doesn't care what people say, but will preach the infallible, unchanging Word of God, and it will stand and give a clarion call to His church. Somebody go and praise God. Hallelujah. The stories in the Old Testament, they're given as illustrations. They're given as object lessons. And they're given to tell us how to live and how to pray and how to be righteous and how to pray until the answer comes. Victory comes when the church prays. And right now we must pray and intercede for our nation. I'm going to be a little hard, but I'm not going to be harsh. Okay? That is a lying, deceiving, controlling spirit. An antichrist spirit that is trying to rule over this nation, the church, and the nations of the world. There's a feeling of heaviness and hopelessness. And it's up to the church to pray and break that. Now, Pastor Ricky preached a great sermon last Sunday night, and he quoted Psalms 149, verse 9, and when he did, my flipper flipped, and I knew it was God. And I stood up here on the way home. My wife said, you preached the second sermon. I said, no, I didn't. I had no notes on that. I said, that a sermon is prepared. I said, that was prophecy. And God spoke to me to speak to this church. Go listen to his sermon. Look on this great sermon. Listen on the end if you want a word of prophecy from God. God is saying, praise me. God is saying, I want you to battle in the arena in the warfare that's going on in the heavens. And praise is a weapon. And we can tear down the chains and the fetters of darkness if we will praise him. He said, this honor has all the saints of God. You have the honor to praise him, and you have the honor to pray. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Go on praising. Amen. The future of our nation and the future of Israel and the future of the world is being weighed right now in God's balances. We know the end of the story. We know that there's going to come a catching away of the church and there's going to come tribulation. But we have a window to change things and to prevail with God. If God is not going to rain judgment on this, he didn't rain it on Sodom and Gomorrah. He had to because he couldn't find 10 righteous there. But he would not have had he found 10 righteous. There is a church that is alive. There is a people that love God. There is a remnant, a holy remnant, praise God. And they will follow peace with all men and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. See, this election was not about a political party, any particular person. It is a war against good and evil. It was not an election about who, but what. What does God want? Well, I can read my Bible and I know what God wants. He wants me to live right. He wants me to be a salt. He wants me to help preserve the culture. He wants me to be a light. He wants you to be the light of the world, that you may glorify your Father which is in heaven. He has called us to be different. We're hewed out of the chief cornerstone. We're lively stones, and we're to be alive, and the church is alive and well. So go on, praise God for the victory you haven't seen yet. Hallelujah. We need to know what God thinks about this election. The Apostle Paul lets us know that we're engaged in a spiritual battle. And a spiritual battle must be fought with spiritual weapons. Look at Ephesians 6 and 12. "But we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Wherefore, he says, suit up. "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand," look at this, "in the evil day." Is there evil all around you? "And having done all to stand, stand." I tell you, my culture is not like the culture that I grew up in as a little boy. There are demonic forces that are trying to change everything, and they're trying to bring this nation to its knees and cripple us and cripple the church where we can't assemble together and preach the everlasting gospel. But Jesus said, "I'll build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." So I'm not worried about what's going to happen to the true church. I'm concerned about what's going to happen to my nation. We're to love God. We're to love our families, and we're to love the nation that God has placed us in. Somebody gonna praise God. That's God's divine order right there. Hallelujah. So I encourage you to pray. If you feel with the Holy Ghost, I encourage you to pray in the Spirit. I encourage you to wrestle and contend with God until, hallelujah. Then take the name of Jesus that God has given you to engage in warfare. Bind the devil, bind principalities, bind powers, bind those rulers of darkness. We have authority to loose, we have authority to bind, but we must pray until the church prevails, and we must never, 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 never give up. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God has obligated himself to answer the prayers of the righteous. Now, you got to be righteous to get your prayers answered, but God has obligated himself to answer the prayers of the righteous. God has ordained prayer, yet prayer has no existence outside of the church. None. You must be born again. You must be righteous. You must have the righteousness of Jesus Christ imputed into your spirit. Your spirit that is dead in sin and transgression has to be resurrected, born again of the Spirit of God. That which is flesh, that which is spirit, Jesus told Nicodemus, a religious man, he said, "Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again." He said, "Can a man enter into his mother's womb, be born again the second time?" He said, "You don't quite understand what I'm talking about. Flesh is flesh, spirit is spirit. Nicodemus, you religious ruler, you have got to be born again of God's Spirit." That's my message to the world. That's my message to the church. You got to be born again. And after you get born again, you got to live right and holy. Because if you sin, we have an advocate. But if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us that sin, cleanse us from all unrighteousness, just like he did when you were saved. But if you continue to sin, you have no righteousness. I know there are preachers that will tell you other than that, but when you get to hell, if you listen to that kind of stuff, and they are there, guess what you're going to do? You're going to say, "Why didn't you tell me the truth? Why did you allow me to come to this awful place of torment?" I'm not a hireling. I'm a preacher. I'm a pastor. I'm a watchman. I'm sent. I'd rather preach something else today, but I have to preach what God gives me. George Mueller. If you've never read his books, I encourage you to get his books on prayer. The great man of prayer, he recorded this in his prayer journal, and I quote, "It's not enough to begin to pray, nor pray aright, nor is it enough to continue for a time to pray, but we patiently, believing, continue in prayer until the answer comes." End of quote. Oh, I got that in my spirit years ago, and I said, "Devil, you're not taking anything from me. You cannot have my family. You cannot have my finances. You cannot have my health. He's hit me in all those areas. But I have come forth victorious every time. Not because of who I am, but because of who I serve. His name is Jesus. He is King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He is a meek lamb to me. He loves me. He loves you. But when it comes to the devil, he's a roaring lion. The devil is an imposter. He goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Jesus is a true lion, and he's roaring in the heavens. Angelic messengers have been sent out. The angels of God, they're warring in the heavens right now. Glory to God. See, there are secrets to answered prayer, and this is one of them that I want to share with this church. Prevailing, persevering prayer. And when you have God's word, and when you have God's principles in your spirit regarding God's will, never give up until the answer comes from God. We just don't quit. We're not quitters. I rebuke the quitting spirit, and I rebuke that lukewarm Laodicean spirit that's trying to grip the church. We're watchmen on the wall. The true man of God is sent to proclaim the gospel and to open the eyes of people. God help us. Now, I want to look at some biblical examples to show you the warfare that's going on right now. The first one involves the nation of Israel and its future. Many times the ones who are praying, they give up. Yet God was willing to grant that request. This will help you in your own private prayer time too. Daniel prayed with fasting until on the 21st day, the angel Gabriel, he finally delivered him the answer. The angel said, listen to this, since the first day that you set your mind to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to them. But the angel revealed that a demonic spirit resisted him for 21 days until the angel Michael, another archangel, came to assist him. If that was the demonic controlling spirit over Persia, you can rest assured there are demonic controlling spirits that are trying to rule and control America and the world today. If you don't believe in the spirit world, just go to Las Vegas. There's a spirit of gambling there. If you don't believe in the spirit world, go to New York. Guess what there is there? There's a spirit of greed, the stock market and all of that. If you don't believe in those spirits, then go to Cape Cod on the East Coast, or on the West Coast. Go out to San Francisco. There is a spirit, a demonic spirit controlling that. It's called homosexuality and lesbianism. There are spirits that are trying to control things. But we have God's spirit. And when we pray, we cleanse the heavens because we engage in prayer with God and with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. What if Daniel had stopped praying on the 12th day? What if Daniel had stopped praying on the 20th day? If he had not prayed in prayer for 21 days and prevailed with God, he would have missed what God desired to do for his nation and for the end time church. He would have missed it all. See, sometimes you just have to persist in prayer and give God time to work. I said, sometimes, oh, God can do anything. Sure he can. But he has a church that he's given us keys. And sometimes you just have to pray and give God time to work. Sometimes the demonic resistance, it delays God's answer until you and heaven prevail. Sometimes it takes God time to coordinate the circumstances to bring pressure on a person until they become willing to do what God wants them to do. Sometimes the demons are so entrenched that it takes time to move them. Jesus taught that some types of prayer must be coupled with fasting. See, there are many facets and there are many dimensions of prayer, and you need to understand the dynamics of prayer and prevailing in prayer. God knows the perfect time that will give the maximum results. God knows the perfect time, listen to me, that will give the maximum results. I remember when I first got saved, I have to use myself because I don't have anybody else as an example. But my life was so messed up, and I was praying and I was praying and I was praying. God said, don't do what you're fixing to do. He sent a prophet my way, which people just thought he was a preacher. Jim Hilliard, singing Jim Hilliard. But he was a prophet of God, a preacher, a watchman, a real true man of God. And I was in one of his services one night, and I went in and he said, don't do what you're fixing to do. If you do, you're going to mess everything up where God can't fix it. I'll never forget those words. I'm going to mess something up to where God can't fix it. And in a vision, see, the gifts of the Holy Ghost, they're so important. God shows me things differently from he shows his other prophets. He will show you things differently. He does that because he chooses whom he will reveal things to. But he showed me my life, and he showed me a picture of everyone involved in the equation of my life. And I was praying, God, do this and God, do that. And God spoke to me, said, look at this puzzle. He said, I'm working everything out for these people. I love every one of them. I'm born again. I know you love me, God. I love them. And I'm working on this situation, this one, and this one, and this one, and this one. And he said, and if you do what you're wanting to do, he said, you will mess up the whole picture, and I'll have to start all over again and put this piece in place here and this piece in place here. See, when you have time alone with God in prayer, God can talk to you. God can show you some things. God can keep you from making a huge mistake. The prophet said, you're going to mess it up where God can't fix it. I have never forgotten that. Sometimes that prophet is spoken, sometimes that word's given, and people mess it up. But God has called the church to prevail in prayer. America is in a spiritual crisis right now. And we need some prayer warriors. We need some warriors that will pray and cry out to God for this nation. We are a nation with a corrupt news media. Our educational system is controlled by a secular world that is anti-Christ, anti-God, anti-Bible, anti-church. And you better believe it. Too many of our politicians, they have far left-wing agendas, and they are seeking to take away our religious freedoms. I don't know what you think of President Donald J. Trump. It's really irrelevant to me. I'm just going to give you some facts, okay? I'm not a Democrat nor a Republican. I am a born-again Christian, and there are some things I cannot vote for. There are some people I cannot vote for because of this book. Righteousness exalts a nation. Sin is a reproach to any people. I don't know what you think about our president, but he has been a voice crying out for evangelical values in America, and you cannot deny that. You hate you Trump haters, you cannot deny that. You just can't. He has supported religious freedom, and the church world needs to support what he's trying to do to reestablish Christian values in America. I'm not saying who to vote for. I preached a whole sermon on foundational values. And the vote is over. I am telling you, he is pro-life. Hallelujah. He is the only pro-Christian presidential voice in America in the last three administrations. And you've got to acknowledge that. If you got a brain, if you got a fragment of a mind, you have to see these things. This election is not about who, but what. What does God want? See, God puts down one and God sets up another. And God sometimes allows evil rulers to come in to teach his people a lesson. I'm saying, God, we're going to intercede. God, we're going to pray. We don't want to learn that way. Your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And you said, if my church will repent. See, there are some people, there are some of you, you're criticizing the church world and you're criticizing God's prophets. You need to find yourself an altar and repent, because you have voted against God. You voted against righteousness. You voted against life. You have gone to the cesspools of sin and iniquity, and you are blind, and God sent me to help wake you up. Wake up in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I really don't care what you think of me. All I'm concerned about is I deliver the word of God and righteousness. Hallelujah. This election was not about who. It's about what. Look at Isaiah 45:1. Thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, One man wrote, we don't need King Cyrus, we need King Jesus. Well, I agree with that. We need King Jesus, but we need righteous rulers in this nation too. Wake up out there. Thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden, to subdue nations before him. Oh, sound familiar? I will loose the loins of kings to open before him the two leave gates, and the gates shall not be shut. I said the gates shall not be shut. See, God can use anyone he chooses to use, just like he used King Cyrus to rebuild the walls and the temple in Jerusalem. He can use President Donald J. Trump. He's the only candidate that he can use unless somebody gets born again, has a radical change. He's the only one that he can use to establish Judeo-Christian values in America, to reestablish them. Amen. Our foundational values. He has supported, he has blessed Israel. He moved the capital from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. And when he did, he took that off the negotiating table. Others, they talked about doing it. President Donald J. Trump, he did it. Hallelujah. See, we need to contend with God in the world of prayer for this nation, because this battle must be won. It's not going to be won by the secular people. They're not going to win it by marching. It's when the church rises up and begins to pray and to prevail and prevail in prayer with God. This battle will be won in the world of prayer. It takes supernatural weapons to defeat a supernatural enemy. Not only did Daniel contend with God for that nation, but look at this in 2 Kings. I want you to see this picture. This is what's going on in the heavenlies right now. And you preachers, take it and preach it if you want to. It's all right with me. 2 Daniel, Elisha was surrounded by the Syrian army, their horses, their chariots, and their implements of war. And his servant Gehazi, when he saw that, he cries out to Elisha the prophet, and he said, Master, what shall we do? He sees the enemy. He doesn't see what the prophet sees. Now look at this, 2 Kings 6:16. The prophet answered and he said, Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And that's my prayer for the church. Open their eyes that they may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elijah. The angels of the Lord are camping about this church. They are camping about those that fear him. They are flames of fire, ministering spirits, sent forth to minister to the house of salvation. Look at verse 18. That's all right. I'll pick it up. Just leave it out. I don't even need it. Hallelujah. And when they came down, Elisha prayed to the Lord, smite. Look at this. Smite. Smite this people. I will use it. Got my scriptures in there. Smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness. And he smote them with blindness. Look at this. According to the word of Elisha, the prophet. It was his word. They caused God to go into action. Elisha said, Fear not, for they that are with us are more than those that are with them. So church, never give up. The Lord of hosts, and that means the God of the armies of heaven is at work. And that means that there is a host of warring angels that are engaged in this battle. You cannot see them, but they're there. You can see them if God opens your eyes and lets you see what's going on in the spirit world. But I'm preaching Bible right now. And this is the God that we serve right here, who can do anything, anytime, through anyone he chooses to do it through. Go on, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You see, we don't fight alone. There are demons that have been entrenched for years. And these demons, they must be uprooted. They must be exposed. And they must be defeated. We need to pray that God will open the eyes of our Supreme Court to the fraud, to the corruption that has been going on in this election. America is upset. I received 4 mail-in ballots at my house that I never requested. millions across America received those. They were sent in. They were not real people. They were not all citizens. There was fraud going on. And guess what? They were harvested and they were counted. And you better believe it. See, voting laws were changed in many states. And all of this opened doors for fraud and for the devil to try to lord himself over the church and this nation. I'm just preaching truth. Hallelujah. See, there was a peaceful march in Washington, D.C. yesterday, Saturday, November the 14th, because America feels betrayed by the voting system. One of my friends put that out on Facebook, and guess what? It was deleted. That is communism, my friends. I said, that is communism for social media to decide what I see and what I say and what you see and what you say. Joseph Stalin, the communist dictator in Russia, he made this statement in 1923. Listen very closely, I quote, "It is not the people who vote that counts, it's the people who count the votes." End of quote. Let me say it again. I quote Joseph Stalin, the communist dictator. It is not the people who vote that count, it's the people who count the votes. Pray that God will grant us a recount in this nation and that the truth will prevail. See, America is at a spiritual crossroad. Just look at the corruption that tried to stop the appointment of Judge Kavanaugh to the Supreme Court. And then Amy Coney Barrett. Look at the corruption that was unleashed, spewed out hate. And now they want us to tell us to come together with them? I don't think so. See, why did they do that? It was because of their lack of qualifications? No. It was because of their conservative Christian values. Wake up, America. Wake up, church. Wake up, preachers. Wake up before it is too late. Pray like you have never prayed before. See, pray that the corruption will be exposed. Pray that we will rid this nation of that scourge and the affliction that they're trying to bring upon us in our religious freedoms. See, America needs some prayer warriors with some passion that will pray until God moves. And I'm trying to arm you today that you will enter into this. See, when we appeal to God, we're just asking God to intervene in human affairs and to save us. That's what prayer is all about. See, God is at work, but we must labor with him. Look at 2 Chronicles 7:14. So many people quote this all the time, but it's very relevant to what we're talking about now. God said, "If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways," God said, "then will I hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins," and look at this, "I will heal their land." God said, "I will heal your land if you will pray." God said, "I will heal your land if you will pray." You cannot kill little innocent babies and bring healing to this land. You cannot endorse same-sex marriage and bring healing to this land. You cannot endorse a political party that does not want the name of Jesus spoken in the Ten Commandments at a public gathering and bring healing to this land. See, there are secrets to prayer and persistent, persevering, prevailing prayer. That is one of those secrets. I got about 3 minutes, so I'll just shorten this thing. The Bible says Elijah was a man of like passions. He prayed it rained not on the earth by the space of 3.5 years. Then the Bible says he prayed again and the heavens gave forth the rain and the earth brought forth its fruit. He was a man like you and me. He was a righteous man. James starts that by saying, "Confess your faults one to another, pray you one for another. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." A righteous man and a fervent prayer, that's a heated prayer that goes from the heart of passion. I hope you hear my heart today. That goes up to God. That cries out to God for his help. If you go to the story and pick it up in 1 Kings 18, and I won't go there, but I'll just quote it for you. He tells Ahab, he said, "You go up." He said, "I'm going up to that mountain and when the story ends for the abundance of rain, he said he prayed and the rain came. He goes out and he prays one time, two times, three times. He sends his servant out. He said, go again seven times. And on the seventh time, he saw a hand about the size of a man. He said, get off this mountain. I hear the abundance of rain. Guess what that hand represents? Count it. One, two, three, four, five. Fivefold ministry. What did God set in the church? Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, preachers. To perfecting of the saints. To warn them, to show them, to teach them, to equip them. So they can be perfected by God. That's the work of the Holy Ghost. I'm just sent to warn and to preach. But Elijah prayed until the rain came. It may seem strange to you after you've prayed the will of God and after you've prayed in faith and after you know God has heard you. It may seem strange that you still have to continue in prayer until the answer comes. But God has ordained it thus. Sometimes there are obstacles that hinder the fulfillment of his promise. And that's when we must petition God over and over again. You may have to fight 1,000 devils. I know I do. But he who prays 6 times fervently and stops when he should have prayed 7 times, he deprives himself of answered prayer. There are times we must continue in prayer. And we must hold on to the promises of God until we obtain them. Well, how about Jesus? Well, in Gethsemane, Jesus prayed 3 times in succession. Father, be possible. Take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. He went away, the Bible says, and he prayed 3 times. The 3rd time, saying the same thing. Jesus told his disciples to tarry in Jerusalem until they received the gift of the Holy Ghost. And they went to a little upper room and they prayed without ceasing. They were continually praying. And for 10 days, waiting for the descent of the Holy Ghost. But on the 10th day, the fire of God fell. Hallelujah. We need for God's fire to fall and help us. I close with this. We have a window of time to pray for this nation. And God is looking for some intercessors, just like God has always done throughout the scriptures. Will you join me? Will you be one of them? I encourage you to. You and I have been chosen by God to make intercession, to warn the heavens with Jesus and with the holy angels that have been dispatched. We have been chosen to intercede in intercessory prayer with him for a lost, a dying world. It's called the Great Commission, and for this nation. It was God who raised up this nation. And we need to persevere in prayer for our religious freedom. Never give up. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Let us stand. Father, I've delivered my heart today. God, we sing songs, God bless America. We sing songs, God shed his grace on thee. Father, this nation recognizes you. They did. And we have an element, Father, that's trying to turn the tide in another direction. But God, we ask you for mercy. Forgive those people for their terrible sin. God, for forgetting you at the fullness of bread. When you've blessed us with so much, forgive us for that terrible sin of child sacrifice, God, which is an abomination to you. Forgive us for those that want to endorse homosexuality and lesbianism, which you said is an abomination to you. God, have mercy upon us. And God, we petition you that you will help us. We humbly pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
For he is Lord. He is Lord.
Come here, sweetheart.
And he is risen from the dead, and
he is Lord. If the Holy Ghost has spoken to you and you need to repent, you can come to the altar. If you want to spread out among this altar and come and do war in the heavenlies and intercede for this nation, I invite you to do that. If you're not born again, if you're watching us, just ask Jesus into your heart. Believe in your heart. Say, Lord, I'm a sinner. Come into my heart, Lord. I believe you died for my sins. I believe you took it. And I ask you to forgive me. You're my substitute. Thank you that your blood cleanses me from all sin. Thank you, Lord. I believe in my heart and I confess you with my mouth. And I thank you that I'm received into your kingdom, because you said, to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Lord, there are heart transactions that must take place. I pray, oh God. Thank you, Lord, for helping me preach this today and for seasoning with your love. A harsh word, Lord, but a holy word.
He is Lord.
I asked my wife to come up here because the family is so important. Nate, would you come up here? You're part of my family. My son-in-law. I have three children. They all have great spouses. I pray for you before you ever met my daughter. Hallelujah. I did. I prayed. And I continue to pray. I have six beautiful grandchildren. And I go back in my memory to Vietnam. God healed me of that. But I still have a memory of little kids missing an arm or missing a leg from that war. And even as a hardened combat veteran, my heart went out to those children. I had a wall. I wouldn't let it down. I didn't know how to love. But Jesus came through my wall and he picked me up and he carried me out. I couldn't get out, but he came for me. If you don't know him, he's coming for you. Receive him. He'll give you life and that more abundantly. I want to tell you something. God is more concerned about your future than he is about your past. He's a merciful God. Sing it. He's Lord.
He is Lord.
We're to love God first. He's Lord. We're to love our family second. God instituted the family. We're to love our nation because God raised up this nation as a beacon of light, as a beacon of hope to the world that's held in bondage. But people came here seeking religious freedoms. They brought their wives. They had little children. They built churches. The Sunday school teacher that taught in that church on Sunday, she taught the Bible in that little schoolhouse. It acted as a schoolhouse during the week. She taught the Bible, reading, writing, and arithmetic. They became an educated people. And that's why we're such a great nation. Because the foundational values that were instilled by God and our forefathers.
Yes, risen from.
Let's protect it. Pray, church. The election is over. We have to war in the heavenlies with God.
Every knee